Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamont, and welcome to the show. It's Friday, it's Good Friday. It's Easter weekend, and so I thought I'd have some comments today, and I asked Spirit to kind of get into this one a little bit about the weekends, Easter, Christmas, where am I going with this? Okay, Easter and all that. So I thought I would do that, and from a metaphysical place, and Spirit, what Spirit had to say about it, and they gave me some really interesting thoughts, so we'll get into that, and maybe I can channel a little bit as I'm doing it. Okay, we'll do that. So I'm taking calls. Always take calls. Love to talk to you people. Love to talk to everybody that calls in. If you have any questions for Spirit about your life, your future, what's going on, remember there's two parts to every question. The first part is yes, when, yes, yes, or no, 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 and when it's going to happen, when it won't happen. But most of the time, if you've been asking, the universe will provide it for you. And the second part of the question is, how do you get in alignment with what you want? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. So I'll take your calls. Love to hear what you have to say. You have any big plans this weekend? You're going to be with family? Any special services that you might be going to? Love to hear all that. So call in, Lynette, take your questions. If you want to talk to some ones who have deceased, dead people as I call them, family, friends, relatives, it's a good time, or even famous people in some cases. Sometimes they like to come through and talk. If you want to do that, or if you want to review some of your past lives and how they may be affecting you now, if anything, we can do that. Let me give you a quote. And then I'll talk a little bit about, or actually let Spirit talk to you a little bit about the Easter, weekend and the meaning of it from a metaphysical place. So, because the quote here is from the Abraham material, if I can find it again, right? All these little tabs and things you have to open up. And I have some articles, too, we'll get into later if we have time, depending on the calls. And most of the articles I have today have to do with relationships. Kind of interesting. I don't know why. It just happens that way sometimes. The universe just says, we're going to talk about this today. Okay, so this is from February 22nd, 2014, from North Los Angeles County, a Abraham workshop. You know, I might have been to this one. Of course, I'm not going to remember everything that Abraham said, but I remember going to a workshop around that time, and it was at Universal City Walk or Universal Studios at the Marriott Hotel, and I might have been to this one. It seems about the right time. Interesting. So every subject is really two subjects. And if you're not familiar with Abraham, Abraham is a group of non-physical entities that present their material through Esther Hicks, and they've been doing this 30 years now? Wow, a long time. Esther started pretty young. Esther's probably in her late 60s now, if I remember correctly. I think she was born in 1948 or thereabout. So let me get back to the quote. I just kind of got sidetracked by all that trivial facts that I know that are rolling around inside my head. Okay, every subject is really two subjects. With what is wanted on one end of the stick, now you got to picture this big long stick, with one end of the stick is what you want. And then the absence of what you want is on the other end of the stick. So what you want is on one end of the stick, and what you don't want is on the other end of the stick, right? Okay, sometimes you are a perfect vibration match to the unwanted end of the stick, and you don't realize it. Isn't that kind of interesting? Isn't that interesting? End of the stick is the unwanted. Okay, so let me think. But to the unwanted, you will don't realize it because it feels normal to you. So let's say money. The unwanted end of the stick is I have no money. So you get used to that. I have no money. So that you're stuck on that end of the stick. And that is only because it is more usual to talk about the problem than the solution. Now, that's a very interesting quote, and I've been talking to friends about this a lot, and clients, and a lot of other people. It's very fascinating that we get stuck in that end of the stick, and we talk about our problems all the time. Problems about what we don't want and what we don't have, and instead of talking about or focusing on the other end of the stick is what we do want and what that's going to feel like and why we want that and how important that is in our lives to have that without sliding back to the other end of the stick of, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that and wish I had this and I don't have it and look at me right now because I don't have it. It's an interesting quote. And that's kind of what I'm going to get into. Okay, so let's get back to main subject matter. Let's get back to what Spirit had to say about Easter and all that fun stuff, right? Let's see if I can channel a little bit as I'm doing this. And the message I was getting from a metaphorical and metaphysical place, if you look at it as a death of old and a rebirth of new, in that time period, what Jesus was identifying with was the death or the end of the attachments to the laws, the nation of Israel, the laws that held people bound to a very strict set of code of conduct. And so that his death was a release or a recognizing, a release of the need to adhere to the laws. Now, you see that today in Christianity where people say, well, we no longer need to live by some of these laws. Don't live by these laws anymore. Well, you're released from those laws. You've been let go of those laws. You no longer have to stone your children to death for being bad. You no longer have to do the various things to take the animals and send them out into the desert as a sacrifice, right? The law has been fulfilled. And now you can take that in a bigger sense of the word, the laws that restrict you from being yourself, the laws that restrict you from the essence of who you are, the laws that keep you bound to a limited point of view of yourself. Now, there's certain laws in society that we have to live by. We still don't go around killing people. Well, most of us, we still don't do certain things. We don't steal. But those laws are really a reflection of the new. What Jesus was talking about, the new, which is love. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Love as being the divine, the golden rule, right? Now, if you take that law or take those rules and take those principles and you apply it to our lives, right, don't we find that if we love ourselves and we love our neighbors, we don't go around robbing from them. We don't go around abusing them. We don't go around doing these horrible things to other people, stealing from them, killing them. So the principles that Jesus put into place replaces the restrict requirements to live by a set of very restricting dietary laws, hygiene laws, laws that just keep people hemmed into a narrow point of view on life. The birth is to a new set of law, a principle of love, compassion, kindness. Now, read the Bible for yourself, and you'll see if you read into Jesus' words and you read his words and the words that are referred to him, you'll realize, yeah, there's a certain amount of truth to that, that it really isn't about all these old laws that we have to live by. And I would encourage people as they read the Bible and they get into the New Testament, and you know that some of it has been altered and some of it is, oh, the translations that have gone on for 2,000 years have changed some of the context and some of the concepts of what he had to say. But if you get to the basic simple principles, words that he stated that are quoted to him as stating, it's very simple. There's not a lot of restrictions on this. Now, some came later. The Apostle Paul, for example, and wrote some things that you kind of wondered, was that really what Jesus intended? When you start putting limitations on people and you start making rules about conduct. So I would encourage anyone, and this is how I look at that, and other people look at that, look at the words that are attributed to Jesus only. His words, his thoughts on these subjects about laws and restrictions and what you can do and what you can't do. If you stay with that and think about it for a while, what do you get? You get some very simple principles to live by. And you're released with the death of having to live by a restrictive sense of law. Now, you can call in, and if you disagree, that's cool. I can go with that. I mean, if you have a different point of view and you feel it's a lot different. Okay, so, you know, I'd love to discuss this with people and see what your point of view is on this. If you totally disagree, fine. But don't you think in terms of, or I would think in terms of, doesn't it make life easier if there's just one basic set of principles to live by? Love yourself, love your neighbors, even love your enemies. Live by forgiveness, live by compassion, live by kindness. Reliance on the universe, God, to provide things for you in your life. Not get hung up on how things are going to happen, but there's a certain amount of trust that will be given to you. Okay, so I'm ready for your call. So call in. Let's talk about what you need to talk about. It's enough about that for right now. But just think about that in a minute. Just take that idea, that thought to mind. Does it – what the words of Jesus was actually talking about? It was the death to a whole set of laws that you had to live by. And it's a rebirth to basic, very simple principles based around the word love. And if we express love, we don't do some of those horrible things, and we don't need the laws to keep us from doing it, do we? Now, Abraham would say that in the Abraham teachings. We don't need all these laws. Ooh, I'm trying to upset, No, but think about it. If you love your neighbor, and if you love yourself, and if you love God or love the universe or love spirit, love yourself, then you don't need all these things. You don't need all these rules. Do we really need all these rules? But we create rules anyway, don't we? Just, driving on the right side of the road or driving on the left side of the road. Simple things, right? Just kind of things that's kind of no-brainers. Okay, let me get into some articles. I want to take your calls if you have a question for Spirit about your life, what's going on, what's the future all about, and how do you get there? There's two parts of that. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm setting up my class for learnitlive.com, and I got the video ready, and if you join me on Facebook, you can see the video. Don't think I can put the link here, but maybe I'll try that on Monday. And ooh, maybe I can. Let me try something real quick. See if I can do the link to it. How fun would that be, huh? And then you can look at the video, the link to the video for the class. It's not even on the site yet. I haven't got that far yet, right? But I'm going to be there. I'm going to be soon to the class. Oops. Well, it's not here yet, is it? I thought it was here. Okay. I can't find it. Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I'll see if I can find the video, and we can do that. Oops, people are buzzing me. Don't know why people are buzzing me. Why do you guys buzz me all the time? And then if I can do that for you, huh? Okay, we won't mess with that. I'll put it somewhere, and maybe on Monday I'll give you the link to the class, because it's not showing right now. It's not showing up right now, and I wanted to do that for you. I wanted to. Okay, maybe I can do it. Oh, here we go. Okay, let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can share this with you, and I'll try this and post this and see if it posts. And then you can look at the video. Okay, this is for the class I'm going to be giving it. And let's see if it does it. Okay. Oops, it won't do it. Okay, that's not a good thing. Maybe there's one other thing I can do. Let me do one more thing. I know I'm wasting a lot of time in this, but I actually want you guys to see this and see if I can do this for you, and then you can do it, and then we'll get into what we're doing later. Boy, that's a long thing, isn't it? Sheesh. Okay, and then we'll get some articles. I'm waiting for your call, so I can do this while I'm waiting for you to call in and talk about what we're going to talk about today and about your life and your so forth and your questions for spirit. And we can do that. So you can try that and see if that link works. And if not, then I don't know what to say. Okay, so let me get into some of the articles. I'm waiting for your call still. And we'll talk about some things. I don't know why that doesn't work. Interesting. Okay, what was the first article I was going to read today? Okay, Pam Grout, one of my favorite authors, and she wrote E squared and E cubed. And she had an interesting article I thought I'd cover with you. And then I'll be checking back to see if you have any calls. Okay, let me. These are her words, not my words. So, this blog post might come as a bit of a shock, but mainly because the statement I'm about to make is completely opposite of how we've learned to experience life. Really, it is possible to live in a state of uninterrupted peace. It's called enlightenment. Here's why most of us, and yes, that includes me, don't come close. What do you think about that? Can we live in that state of uninterrupted peace, tranquility, contentment called enlightenment? Okay, so here's the reasons why we don't. You've created a false self that masquerades as us. We place our attention on this self that is no more real or lasting or solid than Chandler Bing, if you know who that is from the TV show Friends. It is a made-up hologram. It blocks our real identity and our connection to a sacred, limited life force. Now, when I was reading this, I'm thinking that's kind of like our ego, you know, that false self, that thing we created to survive in the world around us, right? It's another word for it. And I'm sure there's a lot of other words for it. The life force got renamed and developed a bad reputation. The nickname for this realm of beauty, goodness, and infinite vastness, of course, God. But I have to tell you that God as a concept has become warped and misused. It's a closed concept, which again is the opposite of truth. Well, that's a startling statement to make, that when we think of the word God, that life force, source energy, if we think of the word God, it's been warped, it's been twisted, it's been given bad reputation. What do you think? Is that true? That false? I have a tendency from my religious background and my teachings from childhood that God has been misrepresented by people. God is a God of love. And that's what I think of God as, is first of all, God of love. And people have kind of injected underneath that a lot of other things, a God of judgment, a God of anger, a God of this, a God of that, where basically you could say God is a God of love and just leave it at that. Okay, point three, enlightenment is regarded as a providence of a select few. You know that false self I mentioned earlier, it likes to promote the belief that enlightenment is some superhuman accomplishment. Well, in truth, it's our natural state of being. We are all connected to an immeasurable and indestructible life force. But because we see ourselves as isolated fragments, we prod through life pretending to be something we're not. That's a very interesting statement. I mean, think about that for a moment. We look at gurus in this world, and we look at the Dalai Lamas or the Pope or whoever that is, and we think, oh, they're enlightened. They're sacred. But me, nah, not so much, right? But the truth is that being happy, being enlightened, being at peace is our natural state of being. You don't have to be living in a cave somewhere, meditating 16, 17 hours a day to be enlightened. It's our natural state of being. that we are naturally connected to it. Now, I love the statement she made because we see ourselves as isolated fragments or isolated humans just kind of existing, disconnected from the universe, God, source, whatever you call it, life force, and that we're separate and we're just floating around without it, without that connection. But it's not true. We are connected. We just have to realize that. We are always connected. There is always right there with us at all times is life force, God, the universe. And I always think of Jesus' words. I think it was Jesus' words that said, like a twinkling of an eye. It's right there. Boom, done. There's no separation. There is no actual separation. We just assume there's a separation because we assume our physicality is all there is. Or we get caught up in the physicality of it all and the separation, that we're separate from everything else. But even scientists will say that's not true. In physics, they will say that it's not true. In quantum physics, they prove the opposite, that there is that connection. There is that field between all of us that interconnects us. There is that matrix or the web of connection between all of us. That if we really tune into that web, and that's what we think about as being intuitive or clairvoyant and clairaudient and claircognizance, is that we're always in tune to that web. We're always part of that web. We can feel and sense and hear and see what's on the web. Okay, a loud squeaky voice is manning the details. We think we're having thoughts, but our thoughts are having us. And by what I mean, our thoughts, which compulsively judge, compare, label, and define, block us from feeling our connection. Ooh, that's an interesting thing. It's our ego once again, isn't it? Our judgment thoughts. You know, and once we get beyond that, once we get down to who we really are, the essence of ourselves, we stop having those self-condemning thoughts. We really connect to the nature and we connect with our higher self, our soul. Okay, back with you guys. See what's going on out there and see if anybody has any questions, thoughts, or ideas for me today. Nope. Okay, so let's move on. Now, that was an interesting statement. And you could take it into that rules that I was talking about earlier, that if we don't live by the rules that religion has pushed on us or that Jesus tried to release us from and moved us to just love, then we release ourselves from our personal condemnation that we all go through. Right? You agree? You disagree? Okay. Let's move on here a little bit and some of the other things I wanted to talk about today and some articles. I always like to get into some of these articles. Okay, so the articles today are on, let's see, we get into the romantic ones? I think so. Okay, how about this one? This is simple. This is from beliefnet.com. 8 ways to tackle relationship conflict. Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. Relationship conflicts in the world today, right? Okay, so there's 8 different simple ways. My dog heard somebody barking somewhere in the neighborhood. Who knows, right? She's very protective. You hear this barking in the background. Be sure you are listening to the other side. Oh, listen is the first point. Listen. Now, you know, that's an interesting point. Let me read this because it's really important because I've studied relationship and how to get along with other people and how to overcome conflict and how to, let's say, argue and without getting angry to the point of wanting to do something horrible, right? Be sure you're listening to the other side of the argument, especially to what the other person may be saying. Looking past your own wants to listen with help will help you immensely. Now, that's really interesting because if you ever get in a dispute with somebody in a relationship, your partner, and you're all heated, you stop listening. You start preparing what you're going to say next. Don't you start thinking about what you want to say and do you miss what the other person has to say and analyzing other person's have to say and feel what they have to say to kind of understand where they're coming from? Or do you automatically go into rebuttal mode before you even heard the whole argument or the whole discussion from the other person? That's human. But the point is, listen, pay attention. Try to understand, have empathy for the other person, where they're coming from, before you go into the rebuttal mode of, I'm gonna make my point, counterpoint, before you even heard their point. We do that, human. Okay, next point is really kind of interesting, and we're going to move a little bit. Okay, we've decided to listen. We're going to pay attention to what the other person has to say. We're going to try to be empathetic to what their point of view is, right? Got it? Okay, do something fun. If you can, try to do something fun together to take your minds off the conflict. Do the thing you enjoy doing, whether most of it would take that would take the conflict seem miles away. Go have some fun. Go play something. Do something fun. Watch an old movie together. Play cards together. As long as that doesn't create more of the conflict, right? You know, do something that go for a walk together. Do something fun that you really enjoy so that you break from that spell of the conflict and move through it, right? Okay. Next point. Seek counseling. It's always good to listen to a third person and point, and let me go through the article here and then I'll point out what I believe this to be. If you don't solve the problem on your own, don't be afraid to seek professional help. There are many professionals from psychologists to pastors can help you solve your conflict. And solving your conflict from that is really kind of presenting a point of view that you never thought of. That, you know, in your discussion back and forth, in your argument over whatever it is that's going on in your relationship, there's always another point of view that you probably haven't taken a look at yet. And that somebody else who's a professional that's dealt with thousands of people like yourself and couples may have a point of view that you go, aha, I got it. I understand. Yeah, we overlooked that, didn't we? We didn't see that one very clearly, did we? So that's seek counseling. Not that you're right or wrong or that you're a bad person or the other person's a bad person and that I'm right, they're wrong. But it's more about seeing things from a different point of view that both of you can go, yeah, we didn't get that. We didn't quite understand that way, but that makes sense. So maybe we should approach this subject, this problem, from a different point of view. Okay, next one. Love each other. Ooh, the big word, the love word. Yeah, the love word. Isn't that cool? That's a great word. When you are fighting, it became tough to remember your love for one another. Keep that first, and the rest will come naturally. So go back to why you're together. Where did that love come from, right? Where did you get to that place? How did you get to that place? How did you fall in love? What do you appreciate about each other? What is it that you love about each other? Okay, and then you can ask that question to each other. Okay, what do you love about me? What do you appreciate about me? And I'll tell you what I appreciate. Or you can even write it down. That's write a list of why you appreciate the other person, why you fell in love with the other person, and have them do the same thing. And then hand the list back and forth. And you'll be amazed that the problem that you've had is not as big as you thought it would be. Because you start to move from that debate, that argument. You start moving towards love. You start to move towards that appreciation of each other. So think about that. When you have a disagreement, sit down with a piece of paper and each of you write down, oh, this is why I appreciate the other person. This is why I fell in love with the other person. This is why we got together in the first place, and exchange notes. And you'll find that doing that, it'll pull you back together. Now, sometimes certain relationships will not go on and on, but that's a point. It's a thought. You know, the article was about some ways of guide to, what was it about? What was I talking about? Okay. So, tackling that difficulty is 8 ways to tackle relationship conflict. Okay, so we got the 8 ways. So we're done. We time to move on to something else, right? I have a bunch of articles. And so I really kind of have the articles basically as a filler because I'd rather talk to you and have you call in and ask questions of Spirit and see what Spirit has to say to you about your future. And I posted a link for that video that I'm doing. So if you might want to copy the link and see if it works. If not, I'll figure out another way to put it here. If there's a simple, I couldn't do YouTube. I tried downloading it because I use iMovie on my Mac. And for some reason, there's a glitch with iMovie to download to YouTube. So I had to go to another source, another way of loading. And I probably could link it to YouTube eventually myself, doing that also. So we'll see if I can do that. If I can put it on YouTube, it might be easier to find anyway. Okay, moving right along. Let's move so you can watch the video. And I'm going to do another video on meditations and all that, make it easy for you to watch on a Kundalini meditation. Let's just have some fun. Let's just go to an article I found on from WebMD on bedroom mistakes women make. We're going to point at women for a little while here and see what you think about this one. And it's a question and an answer. And you can answer. You don't have to answer. You can answer in your head and see what WebMD says about this. This is from a doctor. It's under women's health, but it's good for everybody to think about this one. There's nothing wrong with faking orgasms, true or false? I have to answer with, I'm not going to give you my answers. I'm just going to give you what they say. There's nothing wrong with faking orgasms. And the answer is false. It may seem like a kindness to fake an orgasm, if that makes your partner feel better, what's the problem? First, you're denying yourself pleasure. That's a bad habit. Second, if you fake it, you're giving your partner the wrong impression. The stuff that your significant other thinks is working for you isn't working. Over time, reinforcing the wrong impression can lead to a not-so-satisfying sex life. You hear about this, well, fake orgasms and it's okay. Well, according to WebMD, and they gave you some interesting points on why it isn't okay. Your masturbates, it means sex isn't that great. And I would think, I'm going to give you my answer, and that's false. And let's see what they say. Oh, the answer is false. If your partner masturbates, so what? It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your sex life. It just means your partner's human. Oh. 91% of men under 70 have masturbated and 76% of women, and likely many more. 91%. Oh, that 9%. Well, I wonder who they are, right? Masturbation has benefits too. It relieves stress, helps with PMS pain in women, reduces early ejaculation in men, and may even help you sleep. Okay. So if you catch your partner doing it, don't worry about it. It's just natural. It's normal. It's not about you're not good or you're bad. It's about just something that people do. How many couples often climax at the same time? 80%, 70%, 50%, less than 15%. I have my opinion. So this is kind of a out there kind of quiz, but I thought it was kind of fun to do and just something different. Okay, the answer is less than 15%. If you're always trying for simultaneous orgasms, give yourself a break. For most couples, impossible to control. Trying just adds a level of pointless pressure and usually disappointment. It's tough to surrender to the moment if you're gauging your partner and your partner is gauging you. You know, you're on this, you know what I mean. You know what they mean. Instead, take turns so that you can each give in fully, enjoy yourselves. Look at the simultaneous orgasm as nice but rare things, like seeing a shooting star or winning $5 on a scratch-off ticket. Problem is, I win those all the time. Okay, never mind. We'll go there. We'll leave that one alone, right? Okay, men think more about sex than women do. True or false? What do you think? You guys can answer in your head. You don't have to write it down somewhere. You don't have to play. But I thought this is interesting. The answer is true. One of those cliches that seems to be true, that at least according to research. One recent study found that on average men think about sex twice as often as women do. Of course, that doesn't mean that sex isn't important for women and that you don't think about it plenty. That same study showed that the average woman thinks about sex 10 times a day. Now, I wonder what age group they were talking about. Was it 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, people under 50, people under 40, whatever. But could be any age, I guess. I won't ask your opinions on that. But so women think about it. So men must think about it a lot more. If it's twice as much, then it's about 20 times a day. That'd be about once during the waking hour, twice during your waking hour. Interesting if you take those statistics and put them into reality time, right? Okay, we're not going to do all of these because this is a lot of questions, and we're just going to go through some of them and because I only have so much time, and you kind of get overwhelmed with all this stuff. Okay, for a good sex life, you should have sex at least once every 2 weeks, once a week, two more times a week. It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's a good question. Let me just grab one of those and see what it says. It says, it doesn't matter. Good point, right? It doesn't matter if you're preoccupied with how much sex you should be having or how much sex is normal. We've got good news. There's no ideal recommended amount. So you can stop worrying about how much sex you think everyone else is having and focus on your own relationship. How much sex will keep you, both of you, fulfilled, that really matters. So it's about the couple. It's about working together to figure that sort of thing out. Okay, I am going to skip into another article because I'm just kind of like, okay, enough of that one. Enough of that one for right now. Let's just play with something else for a while. Let's have some fun because I'd really rather be taking your calls. So you're supposed to be calling in about now and questions and what Spirit has to say. Bruce, I don't know Bruce. What's his date of birth? Anything about Bruce? I would ask you, what do you think about Bruce? What is your energy? What does your intuitive energy feel about Bruce? Because I don't get his energy because I don't have enough information. And if I was chatting with Bruce, maybe he's not in your energy field strong enough because he's new. Spend some time with him and see what happens. See if he gets into your energy field a little bit more and then see what happens with him. Okay? I don't pick much up on him. Yeah, well, I'm not picking much up on him right now. For some reason, he's not strong in your energy field yet, so you need to give it some time to see what happens. Okay? You need to spend some more time with him. You need to get to know him at a deeper level. And he's open to it. He's open to that. He's open to get to know you at a deeper level. But he has an agenda of some kind. Agendas are not bad things. Agendas are not horrible things. Sometimes people have agendas and we go, oh, they got an agenda. No, but it means they have something that they want to accomplish. There is a reason they're there. There is a reason they want to get to know you. And that's probably what's going on here. And it could be very positive. It could be because he wants to fall in love with you. I'm not saying that for sure yet. I'm not there yet. But I'm saying that he has an agenda to meet you and to get to know you. And so just play that out and see where it is. Ask him, not what your agenda is, but find out more because you need to spend more time with him. You really need to spend more time. And that's the main point here for Spirit is saying to you, you need to test and know his soul. Ooh, that's a good one. I love that. You need to know his soul. But don't look at agenda as a negative thing because people get all like, it's a terrible thing. It's not. It's just people. We all have agendas, don't we? All we get into a situation and we want something. We expect something. That's just human. There's nothing wrong with that or right with that. It's just the way it is, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. I think that's the best answer I can give you without really getting into his energy field any deeper. You know, you need to spend more time with him because he needs to be part of your energy field. Okay, let me see if I have a good point. Okay, this is about creating new habits. A Guide to Creating Habits That Stick. I'm going to create a new habit, but 3 days later, the habit goes away, right? You know, it takes 21 days to create a habit. Well, there's some ideas on thoughts about that from beliefnet.com and an author who writes about this sort of thing. Wake up early and meditate. Wake up early and meditate. I set my alarm much earlier than it needs to be. Now, that's a challenge for me. Some people that's easy, but, you know, like, okay, it allows me to have plenty of time to wake up properly, meditate, and prepare myself mentally for the day ahead and any new habits that await me. So meditate on the new habit. Focus your intention on the day. That's meditation. I would take it to that place of setting your intention. This is the new habit. I'm not going to drink so much coffee today. So that's my intention. I'm going to do things differently today. Setting your intentions to do that. So meditate on how you visualize your day to be, how you're going to carry out your day based on what new habits you want to create, right? Maybe you want to be more spontaneous. So your thing about meditation is putting it out to the universe. I want to be more spontaneous today. So show me ways to be more spontaneous. Show me to places to stop and smell the roses and not be such a strict schedule person, right? Okay, the next point is, and I can't go through all these, I don't have time, but I thought this was kind of an interesting article and I'm going to share a little bit of it. Reward yourself early on. Reward yourself early on. Waiting until I had accomplished my goal before a reward never worked for me in the past. Now I allow myself a little treat, whether it's a tea break, a few moments of quiet peace at times that I never have before. It allows me to become present again and regroup. So if you're working on a new habit and you're getting there, you're like stage 3 or stage 4 of the new habit, that's cool. Just reward yourself for that. It's a cool thing to get to, right? You know, because a lot of new habits are like, you know, they're not all done at once. It takes time to get into a new habit or breaking an old habit, right? So reward yourself for getting there. You're partially there. You're 10% there. Reward yourself. You don't have to get to 100%, right? Take it one step at a time. And this really kind of ties into the last point. How much time do we have left? And anybody wants to talk to me? Okay, wait a minute. Oh, now you're asking me all these fun questions. I would say that you use the crystals based on your chakra that's appropriate to the chakra that they're referring to. Okay? So you kind of hold them and put them and rest them on the chakra to open yourself up. Now, fluorite is really good about cleansing your energy, especially cleansing your energy as to the environment around you. So I would, if you feel like hassled and you're around a lot of equipment and a lot of electronic equipment, use fluorite to clear your energy field. Okay? That helps. Try that. Okay, so we have a few seconds left. And again, I'm going to wish everybody a very peaceful weekend. Take time this weekend to think about love. Not romantic love, but love of yourself. Love of the basic principles of where love takes you in life and where it leads you in life and what it allows you the freedom to not be living by the rules and so forth that society places on you, but it opens you up to a sense of freedom of being yourself. Okay? That's what love is about. Love is not restricting. Love is open. Aha. Love is open. Love is freeing. And so focus on loving yourself. Think about those principles that we're taught about love and that we don't need to have all those crazy rules all the time in our lives, right? So thank you for listening. I will be back on Monday. I want you to have a really good weekend. If your faith is so, enjoy it. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.